This is the First Time Podcast.
Part reality series.
Part writer's masterclass. It's a podcast about the first time
you publish a book.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to The First Time.
So before I ask you about how you are going out of lockdown, I want to take you back, Catherine Collette. I want to take you back to March 2020. We're just going to have a little listen, okay?
Catherine. Hi.
Kate. It's very strange not to see you face to face.
Oh, no. Let's talk through where we are and what's happening right now on this very Thursday, the 19th of March, because things have gone a bit awry in the world.
They totally have. I actually read something yesterday, I think, that Jared Leto has been in, I don't know, the desert for 12 days on a yoga retreat and has just emerged to a very, very different world.
Awesome. Like the German Big Brother contestants. It's like, it's a great plot for a book, really, isn't it?
It does have the feel of the start of a horror movie, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness, it's crazy. So we're talking to each other on from our own little separate houses on this day, not in our studio, because our studio has quite calmly and rationally been closed down as part of Melbourne City closing down libraries, because we're in the midst of the COVID-19. What do we call it?
I feel like we're not even in the midst. We're in the beginning.
We're in the beginning.
I suppose the question, the biggest question for creatives, actually, let's not say that. That's like how to get food on the table and have I lost my job. But besides that, how do you possibly keep producing work? How do you keep writing when the world feels like this, Catherine? Do you have any answers?
And a couple of people have mentioned this in their pitches, actually. I'm in very much in the camp of, I'm not doing pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, Kate, this week's catch up feels very timely. We are on day two coming out of stage one restrictions in Victoria.
Oh, thank
God. Oscar went back to kinder today and Tilly is at the neighbour's house. So I am alone.
Oh my gosh. I can sense the
Oh my God.
Champagne bubbles behind you.
So we are back.
We're in our second phase of lockdown.
Lockdown number two here in Melbourne. And for our listeners who are elsewhere in the country, who knows by the time this goes to air, you poor people in Sydney after the pub debacle may also be in lockdown. Yeah. How are you feeling, Catherine?
I think it's easier and it's harder at the same time. Obviously, it's harder because we're fatigued. Everybody's a bit over the pandemic.
Yeah, I am.
But I find it easier knowing what to expect. I certainly don't feel as anxious as I did the first time, which is probably a bit delusional, really, given community transfer is the bigger risk factor than hotels and quarantine.
I do feel like a little bit of delusional thinking is what is required right now. We are out of lockdown.
Mostly.
Semi. There's still a ring of steel around us in Melbourne and we still have lots of rules and we can still only go 25 kilometres. But it's a big change. I want to know, Catherine, what was the exciting thing you did last week with your new freedom?
I swapped work days and Carney and I had the same day off together and we had a date
goodness.
In the world.
Did you actually go, did somebody serve you food and drinks? Did you go to an actual restaurant?
So we went to the pool and we did a swim.
Oh my goodness.
And then we came home and had showers and then we went to a fancy restaurant for lunch and it was so good. Oh, this feels familiar.
It does feel very familiar.
I feel like at some point I'm going to have a visceral negative reaction to seeing your face and hearing your voice because I start to associate it with lockdown. There's a reason for that.
I'm so glad you said that. If anyone else out there who is listening to us is having a visceral negative response to my voice, please let us know. We really are here to help.
I got so cross that I stopped the car. I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe I'm recording this. I stopped the car in the middle of the road. I put down my window and I hurled abuse across my 8-year-old daughter
who was
shocked at me
at this woman with her little, you know, it was probably Comic Sans too. Maybe that's what made me angry, with her little sign in her little bloody zippy car saying lockdown kills, masks kill.
Oh my God.
And I was so cross that I stopped the car. I leaned on my horn and I just screamed at her, look, you know, let's talk about the good things. I enjoyed the sun yesterday. I know no one is responsible for that. Like, no one can claim that nice. They did a good thing, but that sunshine was like delicious in Melbourne. We're talking about Melbourne lockdown.
26 degrees, just heaven on the tail end of an interminable winter. It was really special. I feel like we're limping towards the finish line. I think I read somewhere it was 279 days we've spent in lockdown.
It's ridiculous.
It's creative at this point. Like, no, it is all survival.
Catherine?
Oh, my God. That was like, I really felt that deep in my heart.
Right? Teared up a little bit.
We were so naive.
Here's just a thing that's happening. Like, what is this COVID thing that's happening? No idea what was about to come at us for the next 18 months.
It's like childbirth. You don't want to know. Like,
no,
better not to. I had great birth, but but it's better not knowing. Like,
yeah,
you just.
Yeah. But I did, you know, I was like, I was so relieved, and I want to ask you about coming out of lockdown, but I was also like, let's just take the beauty of what we have done, even though it sometimes didn't feel beautiful, in recording us from the start. And there's this long section at one point where we talked about we should be writing this down because, you know, and the kids should be writing this down. And we talked about how the museums were collecting stuff because it was pretty crazy listening to us being so excited coming out of lockdown one, and then just the way that our voices changed. And by like sixth lockdown, you're like, fuck that. I'm done. I am done with this.
I think the most telling, and I remember you telling me this in person, is you leaning over your 8-year-old to abuse a woman on the street. Like, that to me is like, this is where we're at in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That's what I thought I should put that in because it was so telling. But also what I thought was so glorious is you talking about your date that first time. So I think that was the end of that big long one in 2020. So it was October sometime and you and Carney had gone on this date. And so what I want to start by asking you, we are now, what, 2 weeks out of lockdown in Melbourne, 2 weeks at the end of our kind of lockdown. What did you do first? Like, what was on your agenda that weekend? Please tell me. Did you and Carney go for a swim together and go to a restaurant?
We didn't. We were actually meant to do that today, but it didn't end up happening. I think the first thing on my agenda was a swim.
Yeah.
And then we've seen family, went to family houses and that sort of thing. I feel like that first lockdown, or no, I'll put it this way. A friend of mine said that apparently when bears come out of hibernation, I can't remember if I've said this before, but when a bear comes out of hibernation, it inches out very slowly and takes time to adjust. I feel like that first lockdown, I was probably a bit more, woohoo, like, here I am, world, it's over, shake it off. Whereas this time, I don't know if it was more distrustful or the world seems more foreign, but I feel a bit more bear-like.
Nice. Catherine, I want to tell you I was not bear-like. I was not bear-like. Like, retrospectively, maybe a little bit more bear action would have worked quite well for me. But I went for a swim on the first morning, which was amazing.
Where did you swim?
Our local outdoor pool, which only had really kind of said that it was opening the night before. So there was only one lane because it was filled with squad kids who couldn't use their own private school pools. So my mate and I had the one lane. And it was just, we texted each other afterwards and said, like, that was, as absolutely non-religious people, that was spiritual being in that pool. And then we went, so we're actually recording now a week after the crazy Melbourne storms, but we swam the morning of the storm, like when there was power out. I had a tree down over the studio. I'm so into it that we went swimming that morning, but that's another story. I went out all nights of that first weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah, like, I did. And
that's
it
incredible
was,
to me.
Oh, it was so good. It was not out like physically in the world, if that makes
sense. Yes, like I didn't go to venues. I went to people's houses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which was a nice kind of a little bit bear-like. I had a sleepover with my sister. Like it was just – I was so thrilled and I realized which parts of life I miss the most. Having said that, this weekend just passed, I did have a little crash because – obviously
you're out of practice, dude.
I'm out of practice. Tell me, have you swum in the ocean?
I have swum multiple times in the ocean. I went to the ocean when we started getting those extra kilometer buffer zones, and I think that was a real salvation at that time.
Even a buffer kilometer zone, I've realized, does not get me to the ocean. And look, I don't know who listens to this podcast, but if you have a house by the ocean that you don't use frequently and you're in Victoria and you would like some really lovely podcast hosts / writers who you trust because you hear us in your ears all the time to just look after that for you, I do really think that I would be a better human if I got to swim in the ocean every morning. I do. I think that.
No, I've really fallen in love with Black Rock. I never knew about Black Rock. It's very nice.
Because you go like proper ocean swimming, like enough that one day you got, what did you get? When you went swimming, but like you got vertigo.
No. Oh, yeah. I take seasick. I get seasick very easily.
Seasick.
I take seasickness tablets every time. But, yeah, we probably do 1.5, 2K, something like that. It's good.
It's so hardcore.
It's just very addictive. And actually that's one of the really nice things about lockdown is swimming in the bay. I would not have done that half as much.
Yeah, okay.
I like that. I'm very rugged up though. I have wetsuit on and, you know, I admire people that are doing bathers. I don't think I would get in if I was only wearing bathers.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you are a bather person.
I'm just bathers. Well, partly because wetsuit's so complicated, Catherine. Like there's just so much involved. Anyway,
the beauty of a wetsuit is no sunscreen. I reckon that's a really underrated part of wetsuit. I mean, you look like a complete dork.
No, that is good though. I haven't thought about that. Yeah, there was the first day back at the beach on the long weekend. And let me tell you, you know, all of humanity was on the front beach on the Mornington Peninsula on Cup Day. Just remembering, you know, sunscreen application was a thing. But tell me about... This is the first week I've had two children at school on the same day. How did that kind of day go for you?
That was the same for me. It was incredible. Like, Carney was out of the house as well. He was teaching. Well, hang on. I should temper that. It was incredible. The feeling of it was incredible. I could do everything. What I had thought I would do would be write.
Yes.
It is very, very – turns out it's always difficult to be creative. Like, I'm not – finding this optimal zone. It's hard to get back into something.
Ah, this is exactly what I wanted to talk about because, yes, I think that that is so true. And I had these visions, as I'm sure all working parents did, especially working creative parents, of like, you know, drop off, 9 o'clock, pick up my coffee, get home, you know, basically a chapter on the desk by 10 a.m. That is not what happened. And I was not only was I not kind of creatively driven, but I also was just completely inefficient and then had to have a nap. Like it was ridiculous.
As well. Yeah. Completely, completely hopeless. But it's funny because in the lead up to that, I had been doing that thing that you do where you calculate in your head that you'll be able to produce a high quality manuscript by X date, which is like you're always kind of pushing it in your calculations anyway. But based on the 2 days that I spent at home, you know, writing it with bunny ears, got to redo those calculations.
It's so funny. I'm doing one of the great benefits of being back in a uni is that you get access to courses and stuff. And this week I started one with an amazing neuroscientist called Dr. Sarah McKay. And it's on like change behavior, you know, goal setting and motivation and things like that. And I was like, this is what I need in my life. And when we went into the kind of Zoom meeting, like the stuff that people are studying, Catherine, I was so ridiculously intimidated. Like people are actually changing the world with their PhDs. You know, like I'm sure you know, I'll be able to contribute to knowledge, but I won't change the world with my insights on novel writing. These people are like seriously changing the world. But you know what? The thing that everyone was struggling with was writing. Was like, yeah, whether it was a chapter for a book or their dissertation or whatever it was, like everyone was there to say, okay, goal setting, I need to actually work out how to do the writing. So it's not even just us in fiction land, it's everyone. One of the things that I am super, super looking forward to is learning from the neuroscientist, because for instance, on naps, she said only 30 minutes. You cannot actually, which I knew before, but she explained the science of it. Do not sleep nap longer than 30 minutes, because then your brain goes into the next phase and then you wake up like you're hungover. Great. Okay. Easy. She also talked about the thing which I put up on Instagram about why it is beneficial to look at a distance, at a horizon when you're having a break. So she was like, 90 minutes optimal for focused work. Then you have a break. Do not look at your phone. Do not look at something that's non-work on the screen. She said, look at the distance or look at the sky if you haven't got a distance, because what your eyes do is look out at that far distance. Apologies to anyone with a neuroscience degree who's listening to this explanation. And they see no immediate threat in front of them. So you chill and your brain rests. Whereas our laptop and our phones, they're like immediate threats in front of our faces. I was like, I'm going to learn from this woman. So that was one thing. That's what I can offer you. But I also saw that Madeleine Dorr, Extraordinary Routines, Madeleine Dorr, she's got a book coming out in January and it is called I Didn't Do the Thing Today, Letting Go of Productivity Guilt. And I was like, that is a good book. I am going to read that book.
That's a great title too.
It is a great title. You're a fan. Do you read her newsletter? She hasn't
You have mentioned her a couple of times, and actually I saw the notes for this episode and I signed up based on, because I love routines, but for some reason, every time you mention her, I imagine a woman who used to be on Neighbours. And I just have to, I don't know why.
Madeleine West?
Madeleine West. That's it. That's who's in my head every time.
That's not her. Different person. Entirely different person. I mean, I'm sure Madeleine West has something to say on productivity too, but no, it is definitely Madeleine Dorr.
I do think that half an hour nap concept, though, if we come back to that, I find that really hard to come at, because I feel like I have to set an alarm, but the alarm needs to factor in time to fall asleep.
Mm.
I just sleep for however long and then I have a shower. Like, do you think that the shower, I think the shower resets.
Yeah, maybe, but I couldn't, like, I don't have time for that in a 9 to 3, you know, like there's no time
showering.
There's no time for a nap and a shower. Like it has to be nap, bang, up, okay, get in another whatever hour of stuff before I go pick up the kids. I don't know. I think that the thing is our routines are so out. Like, do you feel like you have a new routine that is your post working from home? Like, what's going to happen? How are you going to make work and writing novels work for you?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I almost think I'm going to have to wait till next year.
Yeah.
That's where I feel at the moment. We'll be away once we're going to the south coast of New South Wales again. God.
Can you just not have anything happen? Okay.
Hopefully. This will be, we've had 3 years in a row we've had to pack up in an emergency and come home.
Like quite traumatically. So just chill.
Hopefully we do that. But maybe I'm riding off a longer period of time than I need to. Yeah, I don't know. I really wandered aimlessly around. Aside from the nap, like I was pretty distracted.
Yeah, I think that also that idea that we've been in this, you know, immediate threat thing all the time. We have been. That's what we've been in for 18 months. Uncertainty, threats to us. What's that bit of your brain? Lizard brain working overdrive all the time. Like super hard to put down the phone. Like I'm going to have to put in really extreme kind of things for myself around my phone use.
The phone is addictive. The junk I look up on the phone, like
it's meant to be. Like people are doing really, really clever people who are paid a hell of a lot of money are making us addicted to the phone. So let's not, you know, beat ourselves up too much on it.
Perhaps where we differ in some respects, you have PhD, which presumably has assessment, and you have another a book due out
I do. Look, look.
Eventually. Look. Eventually.
Yeah, it is in a big, I printed it.
Oh
yeah.
My God. A draft exists. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's ready to be chopped up again, as per Sarah Centilli's advice, as she advises people to do, physically chop it up. Sorry, keep going.
Oh, really?
Stick it back together in different ways. Anyway, carry on.
I would not find that helpful.
I didn't until this time around.
Does it work? It's working for you?
The last time I did it, yeah, I physically chopped it up, did that layout thing that sometimes you've seen me do at Musk.
Yep.
And then stuck it, got pretty tape. She said to get that pretty, you know, that kind of rice, is it rice paper tape? And then I stuck it back together physically so it was kind of a Frankenstein document. And then I went through it again and also put in like blank pages with handwritten notes, etc. I think I'm over the screen. Are you over your screen?
I'm really over meetings on screens.
Yeah.
To the point where I've started at work calling people, which feels really novel, but it's much nicer.
It is.
Like nice. As in no Zoom, no looking at each other. It's good.
Go back to your work because you were saying we are different in the way that our routines and kind of weekly lives happen.
Well, the urgency, I suppose, doesn't exist for me. I'm working on a middle grade novel that I haven't shown anyone, is not under a contract for everything. So that's a very
different... You just said it out loud, which is really exciting. And now everyone who listens knows that Catherine's working on a middle grade novel.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what I prefer in that respect. It's sort of nice. I think it was relaxing in lockdown knowing nobody's waiting for this. Nobody cares where this is at, what time it happens. But it's nice to have a sense at the same time of the opposite, that someone is waiting for it, you know?
I love that you say, though, that there is no urgency, because I would just like to just remind you, because I sometimes just have to remind you that you do have a book coming out like in February next year, which is, considering there's that summer zone where you're going to be on the South Coast and who knows what will happen, is pretty close. So I just want to focus on this for a little bit, okay? Because I think that this is useful both for our audience, but also, my friend, I think this is useful for you to start getting your head around, okay? So I want to know right at this point, so we're November, where is the book at? Is it at the printer? Is there enough paper for this book to be printed, Catherine? What is happening?
Do not start me on paper shortages. Like, that's a real thing.
It is a real thing, but not for your book. Your book will be fine, okay? Where are we at with it?
So my work is done. So I'm in this delightful period of, I think it goes to print soonish.
Yeah.
I have done all my edits. I've done markup on proof. I've done acknowledgements. I've done dedication. They're all
goodness.
And although you also have that thing of like, God, I hope I haven't forgotten, you know.
And you know what? You will. And it's okay. It's okay. Mm. Well, let's just get that
blame that on COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in that really nice spot, you know, like it's done. It's not out. It's coming out.
Maybe you're maybe at some point your podcast co-host, you could maybe, I don't know, send them a copy.
Well, I wonder when I will get my copies. I assume December, something like that.
Okay, so you're feeling chilled, you're pre-getting copies, all your work is done. Where are you at with your amazing spreadsheet plan of how this book is going to make it out into the world, Catherine? What are your plans for PR and marketing?
I have no plan. I'm meeting Tex next week, Jane from Tex next week, so that will be good. Nice.
Excellent.
I have a dawning awareness that I should start doing something. I'm hoping to pick your brain because you did this very, very well.
I did do it in lockdown. Let's remember, things have changed in the last year, Catherine. What? You won't be in lockdown.
That's very true, but I feel like some aspects of that lockdown experience will
absolutely
remain. Like, I do think online events in some form, whether bookshops want to run them or not, I don't know that they necessarily will. Maybe they will, but they'll make you buy the book. Maybe it will be more libraries. I don't know. I think aspects of it will continue, but I am pleased not to. I thought your launch was spectacular.
It was so much fun. Yeah. That was really fun.
So I think you still do get to have those high moments in that environment, but
yeah,
it's also nice to get to have that person. Like, that's so, a nice moment.
Let's just go back for a second and reflect to when the helpline came out. What were your, you know, like, what were the top three favorite parts of the book coming out, kind of hoopla? Ooh. Sorry, I didn't prepare you for
the,
that one.
The launch, definitely. The yep. launch, because you get, it is
you get a
wedding, like, yep. only in the sense of the way that people value it for you. Like, yep. I think people really pull stops out. Second favorite was going to Sydney with Jane. Like, we, that was awesome. So, I was going on Channel 10. It was meant to be the next morning.
Oh my God.
At like
oh my gosh, 1 a.m. I remember this. I remember this so much.
Yeah. So, like, didn't really do much then the launch night. Like, I distinctly remember that we went for ice cream, but I didn't actually want ice cream. So I got hot chips next door.
I remember
door.
That.
And yeah. So it was like this sort of weirdly antisocial, but hey, we were all happy. And then I got up at the crack of dawn and flew. Flew to Sydney, and they had forgotten that I was
for the TV. The for the TV,
it's like thud back to reality from my inflated ego. It was good. Yeah, that was fun. That was fun, just because it's like those moments where you're like, "This is cool." Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and fun, yeah. and just a real moment in life.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. What was shit? Is there anything that you will like say, I will not do that again? That did not make me feel good or was too stressful?
I would be considered about book clubs. I'd loathe to say this because I'm actually really grateful that a book of the existence of book clubs.
Of course.
And so maybe I'll eat my words, but they're like, they can be highly unregulated environments.
Yeah.
Where maybe I think you can get your harshest criticism inadvertently in a book club.
Like, definitely. Definitely. Just... Even not inadvertently. Very, yes. very deliberately sometimes.
But I heard another author, Carolyn O'Donoghue, who's on the Sentimental Garbage podcast, talk about how just that feeling when a book comes out, and probably any art form people would experience this, but that feeling of, on the one hand, you want to be on TV, you want everyone shouting it from the rooftops, and then on the other hand, you see someone holding the book and you want to rip it out of their hands yes. so they can't read. Like yep. that real duality of yep. look at me, look away, you know, yep. that sort of sense of vulnerability is a good thing to experience, yep. but I think you have to manage it as well, like manage your relationship to it as yeah, well.
Definitely. And I mean, you know, here's you and I super, super experienced with all the books that we've put out in the world. But from what we've discussed with people on the podcast and our general chats to people, it doesn't necessarily get any easier, I don't think, except that maybe people get better at saying, I will not do that. Or, you know,
yes.
You know, that kind of feeling.
That Ben Crowe, who does the Ash Barty, who's Ash Barty's mindset, yes. and he has a Mojo app. He, like, it's really.
Does he have an app?
Yeah,
because I've been like app. Deep diving on. Yeah,
it's really.
Interviews
I
with him.
Really liked it.
Okay.
I think it's like $200 for a year subscription, okay. and so it takes you through all these exercises, but a lot of it is about, like, framing things positively.
Yep.
And so you have words and different bits, but you come up with, what do they call them, courage mantras. Oh. And so you say courage mantras to yourself all the time, like every day you sort of say these mantras to you. And I guess the idea is that then in situations where you need them, you can
they
say them
very easily.
Sort of, exactly.
Yeah.
So that has been a really, like, coming up with those courage mantras. Two of mine that I stole from Dylan Alcott, who is featured
yes.
in this app. Do you know
yep.
him?
Yeah,
incredible
I do.
Paralympian. Yep. Just be me and fuck it, how good is this?
Oh.
Two good things to repeat to yourself in a nervous situation. Just be me, fuck it, how good is this? Just be me, fuck it, how good is this?
That
Sorry
is
for that
really
French.
Good.
Yeah.
I
so
like them.
Really good. And so you come up, you sort of go into situations where you can feel nervous or
yeah. Yeah.
that you're concerned about, and you come up with things that you should say to yourself. And so there's you might have five and you kind of adapt them to different situations.
Let's just briefly talk about your vision for the party. I mean, like what are we doing for the launch? What are we doing for the launch? Like, what is this going to be, Catherine?
I've not even thought about it, just assumed it would be in a bookshop. Yep. I'm going to take that on notice and have a think.
Have a think. I feel like we could do a group Pinterest board. Maybe people could get back to us on what they think Catherine's launch party could look like. It's going to be February. It's going to be hot. Let's go with a competition vibe.
Maybe I need like an Insta booth. I have a concept that would work well for an Insta booth, actually. That would be cool.
Yes. Okay, now we're talking. All right, so we're thinking something fun. All right, people, listeners, you are on notice. You can get back to us and tell us about that. All right, what I want to do is to get in a few recommendations before we go. What are you listening to?
I am in need of podcast recommendations, actually, because I'm doing all this driving.
Oh, are you back on, I was going to say on set, but oh, you know what I mean.
No, not back at work. I just seem to be on the road, like just I'm actually going places, whereas I think I spent multiple whole days where I didn't leave.
Yeah.
Like if I was working, I probably should have gone for a walk, but I didn't. So I feel like I've gone through everything that exists. So I don't have any podcast recommendations. I do have a book recommendation.
Tell me.
Christine Balance Water Music, which co-won the Viva La Novella Prize.
Ooh.
Very good. Yeah, just started it. It's really good. So set in Venice, about an orphan who has a benefactor that pays for her to do the violin. That's sort of
and it's a novella.
It's a novella, yeah.
Because that's the thing, right? November is novella November. Is that an official thing or is it just Bram Presser who does that?
Ah.
Anyway.
As in Nanarama. No,
I think it's reading. I think he's reading novellas. And also M told me this at Neighbourhood Books because I went into bookshops today, Catherine, and I bought way too many books. But it was just so lovely, like just the vibe. But I tell you what, they are covered in – I went into Neighbourhood Books and into Fairfield Books, and there's just so much stock. There are so many books and people should go out and buy them.
This is a good time of year for books. One book not to buy. I really want to find someone who's read this and hated it. Is this an awful thing to do?
Go for it. I mean, I don't know what you're about to say, but
Paper Palace. It's an international debut. I don't know the author's name. A lot of people are talking about it as the next, like the new Where the Crawdads Lie. I hated Where the Crawdads Lie, so I don't know why I thought I would like this book.
I don't know why either.
Also disliked this book. I would like to have a conversation with you because I think it is universally loved.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not even on my radar. Our algorithms, mine must be so skewed to Australian fiction and, I don't know, not Where the Crawdads, because I haven't actually read that one.
I'm not sure how it landed, but I'm not recommending it. I feel completely free to diss American books. Oh, God.
We just pull that as the
pull quote. I think what would make a great podcast episode is discussion, and I'm not sure if we're candid enough for it, but discussion of criticism. There is so much interesting criticism and criticism of criticism at the moment.
It's like very meta, isn't it?
It's completely fascinating. Like some of the, which we won't go into, but some of the, there was a recent one that was looking at that idea of which kind of Jesse too has gotten involved with about critiquing the writer rather than the work.
Yeah.
Kind of discussion. Yeah. So interesting to me.
It is very interesting, but as you say, it is a minefield. And let me be very clear on this, that Catherine has asked us to discuss this many times, and each time I have like melted into a big puddle of being a big wuss bag and said, nope, can't talk about this, can't talk about it.
I think there's a space for it. I don't know that, as I said, we're the ones to do it, but a book gossip podcast. That would be good.
Can I tell you about a book gossip podcast?
Yes, tell me.
Oh, my God. Once upon a time at Bennington College, you have to listen to it.
Okay.
So it's based on, apologies to people who are already listening to this, it's based on an article, I think, that was published in The New Yorker about the year, and I cannot remember what year it was, but at Bennington College, very prestigious college in the US, where Donna Tartt Brett Easton Ellis and a bunch of other people were all in the same year level. And it's basically about that year level. And it is like, it's the same feeling as reading Bad Art Friend. But
oh my God, I'm totally in.
Just extraordinary. And it's kind of like, there's part of me, I so want to discuss this with you, so please listen to it. I haven't finished it yet, but there's part of me that is like, I would give anything to be there. Like, it's like when you read about Heidi and all the stuff and you're like, yeah, whack, that would have been really crazy being a part of the kind of Heidi modern art crew, but also imagine the parties. Imagine how crazy fun that would have been, right? And Bennington College is the same. It's like, oh my gosh, it's incredible. You have to listen to
it. Oh my God.
And I think that like Donatart, what I saw was that Donatart's kind of legal team said, you know, cease and desist. But so some people have spoken, not the really famous people, but she's kind of pieced it together from the stuff that people have written about their time in college as well and put it all together. Very cleverly done. So that is my listening recommendation.
On so many levels.
To you. And on other kind of, I mean, this is so far from gossip, but just on Literary World, the thing that I've just finished reading is the Gillian Mears bio.
Leaping yeah, into tell Waterfalls me about that.
By Bernadette Brennan. And it is extraordinary. Like, I wouldn't often say that a literary biography is something that I cannot put down, but I could not put it down. And like, I've read Mears. I think I read The Mint Lawn when I was, at uni and loved it, but I'm not a diehard Mears fan. I haven't read everything she's ever written or anything, but the book is extraordinary in the way that it talks about her archive and that Mears kind of knowingly archived her life as well as she went through. And also so inspirational in the way that she, if you're looking at a spectrum of people and at one end is the person who says, I am an artist and my art comes first above all else. And at the other end is a person who says, my family life, whatever comes first and my art fits in around that. Mears is like way up at the art is my priority end. And that's kind of, I think that gives you a bit of buzz, a bit of energy reading stuff like that. Also in terms of how Brennan has put it together, it's exquisite. Like it's beautiful. So I really highly recommend that. And I have finally found, I got both Kay Kerr's Social Cue and Mark Smith's If Not Us and bought them on the same day and then promptly lost them both. But I have now refound both books. And so I'm reading Social Cue and Permafrost by S.J. Norman, who I saw speaking to Hannah Kent on Instagram. So Permafrost is a book of short stories. So they're all on the pile at the moment.
The other book of short stories I've got that I am super excited to read that I've got, I can't remember who said it was great. Hold Your Fire by Chloe Wilson.
Oh, yes. I think I said it was
fabulous.
Great. Yes. Yes. Really good. Incredible.
Yeah.
The first story is the one about the tiger. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Hold Your Fire, Chloe Wilson. Very, very good. I want to tell you two things that are coming up. I am speaking to Inga Simpson about her new book, The Last Woman on Earth for Readings, on November 17th. And because the pile, I don't know if you can see that pile behind me, tall one is me currently pulling out of my shelf all of the books that I would class as coming of age books, because I'm running a workshop on coming of age at any age. So this isn't necessarily kind of YAE coming of age, but all coming of age books for Writers Vic on Sunday, November 21st. That's online if people want to have a look. We'll put a note in the show notes, but it's fun, but also huge.
Like, do you have a favorite coming of age novel?
Well, you know, I kind of put them up and I was thinking about it. And this one, I'm going to put it up because I reckon you will have read it, which is not my copy. It is my friend Zana Freyland's copy. Did you read Homecoming by Cynthia Voigt when you were a kid?
No.
Oh my God. Dicey Tillerman. It's the most extraordinary. The most extraordinary book. I think there's three of them. Zana keeps reminding me I have her copy of this book. I did have it, but and I will really look after it. I promise, Zana. But
wow, so worth reading now. Stood the test of time.
Yeah, and so extraordinary, really. Like the premise is, you know, so I read this maybe as a 13-year-old, And the premise, I'm reading you direct from the blurb right now. What kind of mother would leave her four kids in a parked car in a strange town and then just walk away?
Is this where they make their way and they buy donuts?
Yeah.
Do they buy donuts? Yes, yeah. I have read that. Yeah. Yes.
And like, come and looking at it now and going, just
daughter
has that's to dicey. Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I have read that. And
yeah.
I remember that book.
Yes. Because.
Good book.
Yeah. Huge. Anyway. So that's going to be really fun. So that's what I've got coming up. Have you got things booked in? Are you going to events?
No, I really haven't done anything. I've just been napping. Like, I'll meet Jane next week. I'll start to have a better idea then. I feel like, you know, that you feel that, although you're very good on social media, I sort of have enjoyed having some
time off.
Not really.
Okay.
I don't know if I've hugely been hooked in, but now's really the time.
It's time. It's time. People. Just give Catherine a gentle little prod on social media. Tell her that you're excited. Give her some ideas maybe about our launch party. We'll learn reels by then, I reckon. We'll have reels.
Yeah, reels look good. What's your best tips for social media? Like, if you had to say two things in the lead up to your book, what would you say?
I would say respond to people. So remember about engagement. You actually want to respond to people. Remember that it's a conversation. And also I think that the other extraordinary thing is, like, that gang that you have of the people whose books come out at the same time, lean into that. Like, lean into that, not just the people whose books are in, you know, coming out by text as well, but there's a gang of people. You're going to be in conversations with each other. Your books are going to be out together. You know, just lean into those people as well, because I think that can make it much more fun. What does he say? What does Dylan Allcott say?
Just be me. Fuck it. How good is this?
Catherine Collette. Fuck it. How good is this? You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.